Okay, good morning. Masechet Gittin Daf Daf Pei. Starting Daf Pei. The middle of the Mishnah is starting Ayin Tet. So just very quickly to recap, that she was from Reykjavik in Iceland. So we saw Machloket in the Mishnah. We saw that. We actually said the word that we hadn't said Machloket yet. We saw an example if a person made a mistake. Right, the Rashi starts, the person made a mistake, he wrote the Shem Malchuch and Hogenet, it was the wrong kingdom. We'll see later on, I think one's going to ask, what's the difference? But if you wrote, you dated your get according to an Hogenet, we'll see who that is, a non-proper kingship, or any other, or Madai or Yavan that were once kings, they aren't anymore in previous date, or Lebinyan, the time of the Bet HaMikdash, the time of the Churban of the Bet HaMikdash. He was in the east or the west, and he said he was in a different place, and he wrote different things. A woman who uses that get to get married, and she has to basically, she's not divorced from her first husband, but she has to divorce him, get a new get, and she has to leave her second husband. And then we saw, basically, a whole lot of sanctions. So she needs a get, she's got no ketubah, she's entitled to any payment, that knows that to redeem her, and she doesn't get any mezonot, no maintenance. Neither any compensation for her for her worn out clothing that she brought into the wedding, right, from either husband. And then we said there that if she took any of these things, she got to return them. The vlad would be a mamzer from both of them, right? And neither of them can betame her if they're a kohen. If she dies, they can't bury her. And neither of them are entitled to anything in any of her findings or her salary. And they can't redeem her, they can't annul her vows. And she was a Bat Yisrael, she went up to yesterday, a Tab Bat Yisrael. So we said in Yisrael Nakuna, she can't marry into the Kuna again. Obviously not because she's been divorced. Now we start the Mishnah, the quotation of the Mishnah on Daf Pei with Aleph. Then we said, if she was a Bat Levi, if she was a Bat Yisrael, she's not to the Kuna. If she's a Bat Levi, so she don't talk to any Maser, the Levi meet Maser. And Rashi said, we had to Knas. It's all knasot, brought in Yavamot. We'll see it. It's a mock. It's all basically punishment, so to speak, that the sanction that the Chacham initiated. To be honest with you, not such a simple process, yeah, but it seems like she should have been more specific as well before she relied on that get. Because even though he's the one that made the mistake here, she's really paying the price, right? If she's a bat kohen, she's not going to get any truma, right? Rashi says, yeah, we've got again, he brings from Sota, from Venitma. Venitma says, mentioned three times in the psukim. One's that if she's asked to the baal, one's asked to the boil, she has relations with it, if she has an extramarital affair, and one, she's passed to truma. So we see, basically, she loses any of these rights that she would have. So, am I recording? That's a big question, yeah. I'm going to lose this. Yes, recording. Right, so that would be and Yoshin Shilze, Yoshin Shilze, Yoshin Tubata. What does it mean over here? Yoshin Shilze, Yoshin Tubata. Rashi says over here, we're talking about a Benin Dichrin. Remember Benin Dichrin, that is a ketubah. That if, it's not the normal rights of the ketubah, but basically if she predeceases her husband, then he inherits everything. And Achav instituted this idea of Benin Dichrin, that her children, her sons, when the husband will ultimately die, will get over and above. When they split the Yerusha, remember he's got children from other wives now. So this wife's children will first get the value of what their mother's ketubah was before the rest of the children share in the Yerusha. In a case like this, there's none of it. Even though, right, there's only two chalitza, none of them do yibum. They die before they can get this divorce. Now, the question is, what do they both need to do it for? Right, partially only one of them has to be. So Rashi says, "Avi Achiv Shelze Shelshani Cholek Mid Rabana." It's pasuk that she's not divorced. So how can the second husband, his brothers do chalitza? Rashi says, "Do Rabana." We'll see later on. Can the parishu gabe get Shema Yomru Gzeres Gireish Zeh Menasah Zeh VaAchiv Shelrishon Tzrich Lachlut Min HaTorah. So there's two husbands at the moment, right? There's the first husband because she never got divorced. So the get wasn't a good get, a pasuk get. We'll see in a moment why. It's interesting. And then the second husband, the new husband, so he's only chalitza midrabban. Rashi says, "Yeah, why? People shouldn't look around and see, and think that she got divorced to the proper get. She got married to this guy. He dies, and she goes free and marries anybody else in the shuk, Right, without first doing chalitza or yibum. So it's a gzeira. She does chalitza to the brother of the second one, midrabanan. The brother of the first one, she has to do midda or raita. Then the Mishnah says, another baba over here. Shinashmo v'shma. If she changed in the get his name or her name, or the name of the city, shem yiro, shem yiro, her city, his city, again, tetzem yizem yizem, v'chodat drachim ha'eru ba. And again, all these sanctions apply. Right? Now the Gemara is going to ask, what do we need this for? It's very similar to the previous one we spoke about. Now, we know, okay, we already learned, sorry, this is the Gemara over in Masechet Yevamot, that all arayas, sh'avnu tshortehen mutarot. So now, we've got a situation where we know that we've got, for example, a tzara, right? So what's the example of a tzara who's muteret? The person's married to his brother's daughter, to his niece. And now he dies, his brother doesn't do yibum, correct? Correct? Can't yibum to his daughter. So that's a tzara, that's a yevama who's muteret. Now when we learn that if the arayot, because of arayot, she's muteret, when he gets up, then all the tzarot as well, don't have to do yibum, they're all mutarot to go free. Remember that? You can marry that yibum chalitza. So now, the Mishnah tells us, Kora as she'amru, that in all those list of examples of arayot, which we saw at the beginning in Yevamot, it was the beginning of Yevamot, right? The beginning of Yevamot. All those arayas, she'amru tzoten mutarot, achu hatzarot ha'elu v'nisu. Now, listen to this. One of these, so now we've got this arayas, and this girl dies, the husband dies. And now, because of one of the arayas, so all the tzarot don't have to do yibum mochalitza, one of them gets married, and then meninsu elu ayelunit. That this girl who was the arayos, the daughter, let's say, in my example, the niece, was actually an ayelunit. If it's an ayelunit, we know the kiddushin is not tofsim midorayta, it's not a proper kiddushin, they weren't actually married. So now, taitse bizeo bizeh, the tzara that got married without doing yibum or chalitza, thinking that the tzara was an arayas, and therefore she was patur, and now lemafreya we discover that she was actually the wedding wasn't a proper wedding, she was never really married to her uncle in the first place. So if she wasn't really married, it wasn't a kiddushin, then she wasn't a tzara, correct? She can't be a tzara, she's only a tzara, there was a proper kiddushin. Everybody following me? Clifford, you with me? Right? So she's not a tzara. She's not a tzara, and now she relied on that ayelunit. She has to again tetzem izel mizeh, right? The same b'chol adrachim elu ba, same thing. And all these sanctions apply. We'll see in the Gemara examples of why. According to Yevamto, in another case, here a person does yibum to Yevamto. So his brother dies, and he marries the wife, his brother's wife through yibum. Then the tzara didn't have to do yibum. So the tzara, the second wife, went and married somebody else. And then again, we discovered now that the girl who did yibum was actually an ayelunit, which means that her first marriage wasn't a proper marriage to a raita. Therefore, the yibum wasn't a proper yibum, which means that the tzara wasn't exempted from yibum because of her tzara's yibum. And she goes and gets married to somebody else again. Okay, so pretty stiff stuff. Next. We'll probably have to do chalitza, or maybe a yibum or chalitza. Midoraita, there's no midoraita, the first chalitza, or the first yibum wasn't a yibum. So the first yibum wasn't a yibum. Then one of these tsaros, one of these wives now, has to do yibum or chalitza. But they're back to stage one. But it's too late. Right? Because the Tzav Yesh needs a get from Mizeh or Mizeh. Which means that she can't get a get from the first husband because he's dead. So they probably have to do Yibum Mochalitza. The Mishnah just says, the Gemara has asked that question that I just asked now. I'm just thinking about it now. Right? But once you asked me, it started me thinking. But I think it's usually in the same style as Tatsay Mizeh, or Mizeh, Tamizeh, Mizeh, Tamizeh, Mizeh. But it's obvious that she can't get a get from the first one because he's dead. So she'd have to either do Yibum, or she can't do Yibum because she'd be married in the meantime. Now, we'll see in a moment, she can. We'll see if it was Znut. Okay, you know, the girl will discuss it, I would bet. We won't discuss the exact question, but we'll see in a moment of when it would and when it wouldn't apply. We'll see just now a machloket if a woman who's a shomeret yibum, right, she's waiting to do yibum, and she's mezane with somebody else, she sleeps with somebody else, not l'shem kiddushin, is she asuna to the yabam like a woman would be asu to her husband if she was mezane with somebody else? She asu to the baal and to the boil. So if a woman has an affair with another man while she's married, she's asu to that man and to her husband. We'll see that the machloket, if the shomeret yabam is also asu to the yabam or not. Okay, that's coming up, but I'm a bet. So maybe it'll help us understand that over there. Now, next case, katav sofer get leish a person. Now, this is something is tragic because yeah, sofer writes a get for a man. Now it's clear here that neither of them know how to write, read, right? And she writes a shofer for the isha, right? She writes a receipt for the isha. So when was he busy writing the get, They said, "Listen, write me a get, husband, write me a get, and write my wife a receipt." So when I finally, Rashi says, when I pay her out her ketubah, she can give me the receipt, and I've got the shofar with me, and I know that I've paid out the ketubah. Okay, v'ta'a, and the shofar made a mistake. V'natan get le'isha v'shofar le'isha. He gave the get to the woman, and he gave the shofar, the receipt to the man. V'natnu zelizid, they each, they gave it to each other. So the husband thinks he's got a get in his hand. He says to the wife, "Here's your get." I read Makudet, Makureshin. And she says, "Okay, thank you, Rashi, give me my ketubah." He pays out the ketubah, and she gives him the shofar. But in the meantime, what happened? Ulachazman, when somebody comes around, Hare get yotze miyara'ish, v'shofar miyara'isha. Seeing that the man's got the get, the woman's got the shofar. So they each got a document from the sofer, not knowing what it was, they can't read. And he gave the wife the get, but it actually was the shofar. And she gave him her shofar, and it actually was the get. Tetze mizeh mizeh. When they discovered this, and she got married on the basis of that get, you wonder what happened to Beitin, right? Why didn't they ask to see her get when they married her the second time? Surely the Beitin, somebody they could read. But I suppose she didn't wait for Beitin and she just went in and got married. Right? And the same thing, all these sanctions apply to her. Okay, so that's the story with the sofer. Now, the Rabbi Lazar says that this is not so straightforward. It says it would depend. Im la altar yetsa, ein zeget. Im la chazman, im la altar yetsa. If they discovered it straight away, immediately, when and very soon after, we'll see a machlok in the Gemara exactly what it means. Very soon after this happened. So then, yetsa and ein zeget. It's not a get, and she has to divorce the second man. She has to leave the second man. And if it's a long time they've discovered this whole tragedy, so I raise a get. Rabbi Lazar says it's a kosher get. And why? He says it's quite fascinating. He said, we can't just rely on the first person, right, entirely, and therefore go and cause tragedy to the second person. Because what happens here? This woman's now happily married to a new husband. They've got children, everything's happy. And now suddenly they discover this mess up, that she's actually got the shofar, not the get. So Rabbi Lazar, wait a second. We can't now just assume that she never knew what was going on, that she knew what it was all about, or she never knew what it was all about, and mess up the second guy's life. We'll see later on that he's concerned about a kanunya, that there was a knufia between the husband and the wife. Okay, they weren't actually telling the truth. Maybe they changed, they just exchanged documents and then came for whatever reason. I don't know if she wanted to get out of the marriage or she wasn't happy with him, but he wouldn't give her a divorce. So she went back to her first husband and he said, okay, take back the get. And that's when she realized, look, I wasn't really divorced, I can't stay with you. And that's how she gets out of it. Okay, which could happen if it's a long period of time. If it was straight away, she'd rather very soon, like 3 or 4 weeks, or we'll see in a moment how long it is. So then he'd accept that. The Tanakam is stand that she has to divorce the second husband as well. But if it's after a long period of time, he says, we don't believe them, can't just go and mess up people's lives. Look at the Rashi over here, I'm just keeping out the Rashis. He says, we don't just believe whatever they say. To sacrifice the rights of the second person. She now saw that she married him. And they didn't exchange afterwards. We don't buy this. That this just happened as it looks at face value. Okay, so now we go back to the Mishnah which we started with from yesterday. So my malchut she'ena hoged. What does it mean a malchut? That's an improper malchut. How do they translate the word the ena hogenet? Out of interest in English Gemara, somebody got English here?
Unworthy kingdom.
Unworthy kingdom. Okay. So you want to say, what is that? That's malchut haroma in the Romans. So you want to say, why is it called a malchut she'ena hogenet? Unbelievable what he says over. Listen to this. The Roman says, yeah, haven't got their own language or their own alphabet. Which I think they speak Greek, Italian in Rome today, right? But the Romans, I don't know why he says that. What the Gemara says. Look at Rashi over here. She'alem lo ktav lo lashon, ele mishel uma acheret. What they've got is expropriated from another nation. In other words, they aren't ready. They're inorganic. They're not proper. If you're a proper nation, you've got your own language. If you've got your own language, you're not a proper nation. So now, look, Abba Ulam, now Ma'atakilu Malchut. So we'll ask the question. What have we got this to? Why do we write the date of the Malchut into our gate? Why do we write Tikilu Malchut Begit in? He says, Mishum Shlom Malchut. He says, really, Ulam's getting somewhere, right? He's setting up a question. So he says, why do we write it into our gate in the first place, nation, the kingdom? He says, because of Shlom Malchut. Right, what is Shlom Malchut? Shlom Malchut is because we want the kings to think that we take them seriously, we respect them, we regard them as important, and therefore, look, we even write our contracts according... Okay, with Darach HaShalom, but with them, not Darach HaShalom, normally I think they are... Hello, I didn't see you there. Morning. Darach HaShalom, normally we say Darach HaShalom, talk about that the Goy, that we don't want to cause Eva with the Goy. But see, we don't want like the goyim, to think that we don't care about them, but they'll start killing us. But yeah, it's more, maybe it's the same idea. We want the kings, we want them to be happy that we acknowledge it. Does Rashi actually give an example of what it is? Mishum Shlom Malchut. Yaluki Rashi Zabiya Sheye Lanu Shalomimahem, Sheyomru, that there'll be peace with them. Shomru Chashovimat Anu Benehem, that we regard them important to us. She Kodvim Shtarotehem Bishmen. So they'll be excited. So Dr. Tapa Vishalom, Dr. Shalom, right? Okay, Dr. Shalom, same idea. So now it comes along Ya'ul and says, so that's the reason we write it. So Mishum Shlom Malchut, Tetzei Bolech Mamze, Vahavlad Mamze. Isn't it going a bit far? Why do we write the king that I get in the first place? So that, like you said, okay, because of Dr. Shalom. So because of Dr. Shalom, we're now going to make the woman divorce her second husband and the children are going to be born Mamzeiru. So he says, yes. Rashi says, yeah, but that's all the questions. He says, yes. Why? He says, Rabbi Meir Letamei. How do you know Rabbi Meir? So Rashi says, yeah, Stam Mishnah. We now got a Klal, right? The Mishnah had a name in it. Rabbi Meir, nobody mentioned it until the end. Rabbi Lazar Cholek with Tanakama. So the whole Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. He says, Rabbi Meir is the Tamei, the Amrabi, Rabbi Mnun Mishwai, the Ula. He says, oh, Rabbi Meir, he quote Rabbi Meir would say, Kol HaMashane Mimadber SheTivu Chachamim Begitin Avlad Mamza. Principal Klal says Rabbi Meir. That anybody who changes the format that Chachamim wrote a structure to get for, Chachamim gave you a structure for your get, you change the structure of that get, your child, bear in mind that the woman has to know that if she gets married with that get, the child's a mamza. That's it. Don't take chances, no games, no hostages. That's the bottom line of this. So now the Gemara says, okay, now ask a couple of questions. L'shul Malchut Yavan. So we said, L'malchut Shoh Eno Hogenet, Malchut Yavan, Malchut Madai. I'll be going a bit far. What do we all these things for? We need them all. Why? Tiyashmin al Malchut Shoh Eno Hogenet. If it was just Rome, so we'd say, Mishum de Melicha. What do you mean, Mishum de Melicha? If we still wrote our contracts according to the kingship of Rome, so then the kingship now, he says, right, because Mishum de Melicha, Achshav hi molechet. Because the Rome is still ruling somewhere else, not necessarily where we're living. Lefichach itkane b'hamelech shel machut zo v'yakpid imenu. If where we're living, they'll see we're still writing our shtarot according to Rome, and they're still ruling somewhere else, not where we are. Our king's going to be jealous, and it's going to cause the opposite. He's going to come and say, "Well, you still got allegiance to Rome, right? Like this double allegiance. Can you be a Jew?" And a citizen of your country, make up your mind. Are you Mark a citizen, or are you still giving your allegiance to another country? Ava Malchut Madai or Malchut Yavan. But these are Greece and Madai. They've passed from the world. They're not around anymore. No one cares about them. Madai Abava. So then, even our local kings maybe wouldn't worry if we were still going according to kingdom didn't exist any longer. But Rome is still around somewhere else. It's a problem. V'yashbin and Malchut Madai or Malchut Yavan. On the other hand, if we just wrote Malchut Yavan and Malchut Madai. Mishum de machuta habu they were kings once upon a time, and our kings might be upset. But then we think to ourselves, you know what? Well, if we date it according to Binyan Abayit, who would care what Bamachot, that Bamach, everyone else basically destroyed. No king would be upset about us. They'd understand these Jews, they've got their Tisha B'Av, let's say, and they still mourn the temple. But we just wrote in Binyan Abayit, we'd say, why could you not be, why would be the problem of Binyan Abayit? Damre, Kemat Kere, Shabchayu. They'd be upset because they think that we're still busy praising all the memories of the temple. This king, that's why it's bad. We wouldn't like that idea. Aval churban, if we dedicated, sorry, this is the Tisha B'Av. The churban, let these Jews mourn. What do we care? Right, the tzaruhu. Therefore, Aima, we'd say that wouldn't be a problem. And therefore, Tricha, we need all these examples in the Mishnah. Neither Hogenet and improper kingship, or Madai, or Yavan, or Binyan Beit HaMikdash, or even Churban Beit HaMikdash. We can't date these. Anything things we're worried about. Why? Shlom Malchut, that they want to see we date that Shlom according to them, and they're not going to cause us any tzoras. Okay, now we saw the Mishnah, if it was in the east or the west, except for the names, we said there's a whole list of things there. We said, I have a Mashach, we have a Marav, a Mishach, right? So the same thing, if he said, I'm in the east or the west, wrong thing, gets bad get. So Gemara says, man. Right? Who's in the wrong place? Who's in the west? Who's in the east? So Gemara says, Ilam a Baal, if the husband. So what's the difference between west to the east? Or Hainu Shinu Shmo Vashma, Vashemi Ro, Vashemi Ra. We're going to see that coming up, right? If he changed her name or his name or the place of the city. So what's the difference between east or west? It's all part of that whole category. Well, what's it? There was Eda. So it's obviously not him. Eda the Sofer. Right? The Sofer is in the wrong. Amala Rav Le Safrayu. Rav said to his Sofer. Says when you write your star and you're in Hili, even though you're going to give, you write it for somebody who's in Shili, you in Himni, say it in the town Himni. And if you're in Shili, and you give it to Himni, so write Shili. We see that I'm very particular that the sofer has to write that this contract was written in this town. You see it to this day, it's in contract, right? You have in the place and the date and the time, etc., where it was. So he's saying over here that even though the person who ordered it from you is from Himni, you got to write there, this star was written in Shili. Right? So that's the idea. It's that when we say mess up the east or the west, we're not talking about the husband or the wife or whatever, we're talking about the sofer. So Yudah Mashmuel says, Zo Divrei Meir. He says, this whole structure over here of all these sanctions are Divrei Meir with regards to Rashi's points out specifically the get Nifsal Mishum Shlom Machot. This whole list over here of where the wrong kings was again, we wrote Rome, we wrote Yavan, we wrote Madai, right, or that whole list, that's only be Meir. But Chachamim Omrim, Afil lo katav, el l'shem sintar shebair. Remember, Rabbi Chachamim say, makes no difference. Even if you dated it according to the years, Rashi Leviya, what's this sintar shebair over here, right? Santir, like a senator, I suppose. That's probably where the word senator comes from. Right, same word. Does Steinsaltz say anything there about the words? Anybody go to Steinsaltz there? Does he mention anything about santar, like a senator? Rashi's the first one, Baba Batra, said Rashi that Bar Machvin Zakei, he explained it like this: Hamemune liot baki benachalat gvul sadeh kol ish v'ish. So like in the tabu, you know, the tabu, right? The guys who know the title deeds of everybody's land. He knows the borders, the land, the modedim. What do you call them? What's a moded in English? Like a guy goes and measures the surveyor, right? So the surveyors. So he's the chief surveyor of the city, let's say. So even if you write the diet here, doesn't make it. I read you Magureshet. As long as you've got some sort of date, it's fine, right? It's an aggression. But remarried for every particular, there has to be dafka the machut. They said, as long as you date to do something, it's fine. Now we'll see, Mama, who get to the habaktiv bel shaim istandra de bashchar. I think that's the name. Am I pronouncing it properly? Yeah. Who get it? Yeah, istandra de bashchar. Okay, so the going of the story of here, this gap was dated. According to the Istandra de Bashkar. What is Istandra de Bashkar? So, yeah, Shilton Shil Bashkar, Avdo Shil Melech. So, this guy in the town, like the governor, probably, right? The Shilton, or the mayor, or whatever, of the local town Bashkar, and they dated it according to him. When he was appointed the 30th year of this mayor, it's a famous mayor. So Shachar Rachman by Rav Chizda Lekame de Rabba. So he hit this get to Rabbi to ask him, "Ki hai gavne mayor? Can we use this get? Kosh get?" So Shachle Baha Afiru Meimudi. He says, not only that, he says, if he wrote it according to the governor, even he may would agree that it's a good get. And he may who needs a king, right? He even and we said, Chacham don't need a king. They happen to just use the local registrar, right? Even a get like this, he would agree with it. I mean, why is it so good? He says, my time, huh? He says, more time, Malchutu. Because this is the guy who's employed by the king. So when we spoke about the Santar Shebair, he's a pakid. Right, he's just an employee, but this guy is like represents the king. He's the king's representative in that town. It's as if it's part of the machut. So mashnai misanta shabair. So how come here this local mayor or this local governor? He's a good guy. He gets good said by him, but the santa shabair. But we may wouldn't agree, right? The mashnai, why not the santar? He says, would disagree with that one. He says, Hatam Zidalehu Milta. Says there, when you're writing according to the Pakid, so you're insulting the king. You can write it according to some local clerk. That's an insult to the guy. But when you date it according to his majesty's governor, right? Like, you know, if you suppose you go in Australia or Canada, well, you've got a governor, right? They've got the governor general who's appointed by the king. So that's really giving allegiance to the king. That would be something very nice. Now, this is Amrav Huna Amrav. Zod Rimei, right? Aval Chachavim Omrim Avlad Kashe. And so now, when we said over here, right? So the first, this is like a separate discussion. We said that early on, we said that the Malchut, that we said over here, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, said Zu Rabbi Meir, but Chachamim say, Afilu Ketav Lashem Sintar. Here Amar Rabbi Abba Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, says Zod Rabbi Meir, but Chachamim Amarim Havlad Kasher. What does it mean Havlad Kasher? Look at Rashi. A Shlom Malchut Kais. It says in all these lists over here of Shlom Malchut, that's only Rabbi Meir. We saw already Rabbi Meir is pretty particular about the matbeah of the get. So here he says as well, Rav, and Rav says over here that in the case if it was misdated and it wasn't written Malchut of the Melech, Rabbi Meir who says that the Vlad is a Mamza. But Chachamim say no. Chachamim say that the Vlad is a good Vlad. In other words, might not be excited about it. But exactly the question that Ullah answered, right? It was Ullah's question. Remember, that's what Ullah said at the bottom. But yeah, what did Ullah say? Ullah said, we saw it this morning. Ullah said, what was the purpose of writing the name into the date into the gate? Because of Shlom Malchut. And because of Shlom Malchut, you're going to make the child of Vlad, a Mamza. And we said, yes, because Rabbi Meir. So said that, Rabbi, you're right, that's Rabbi Meir. But Chachamim don't agree. Chachamim said the blood's kasher. Umodi ma'eva Chachamim Rabbi Meir. She'im shina shmo ushma b'shem iro b'shem ira, but he agrees here. Even Chachamim agrees with Rabbi Meir that the name on the get, his name or her name, or the name of the city or his city, that causes a mamzerut. In other words, there's levels over here. Chachamim says to Rabbi Meir, "That's Rabbi Meir. You can't go to town." At the end of the day, what's the idea of the kingship? That's just Shlom Malchut. I'm going to make a woman a child of mamzer because of Shlom Malchut. We accept that the name is wrong, that the place is wrong. That's really a pasul get. But not to the extreme of Rabbi Meir. So I'm Rabbi Ashiyov. So Af Anamitri. So we also learned. So Shinashmo v'shma v'shem iro v'shem ira. If it's his name or her name or the name of his city or her city, the same is him. Then they've got to go through that whole process like all the sanctions in the Mishnah. V'chol adrachim eluba. Right? That would be limited to only the names and the place of the city, but not for the name of the kingship or anything like that. Anything which is so minor. So the Gemara says now ha man katanila. Right, so this idea over here, we saw. What do we see? If you look in the Mishnah, if you look at the Mishnah, we've got Ketav L'Shem Malchut, and I'm going back to Ayin Tet Amud Bet at the bottom of the Amud, the Mishnah. The Mishnah starts with a whole list of things. It says if you're the wrong Malchut or the Malchut Mada, Yavan, Chuban Abayit, Mishrach, East, West, Marav, Ketav, Mishrach, Tetzim, Zev, Zev, and you get. Then we say, you're to Tubem, we list the whole list of sanctions. And then we only get onto Payam with Aleph. And we're already like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 lines into the Mishnah. Into the Mishnah on the first Amud, and then the second Amud, and then the third. But Levi min Amase, 1, 2, 3, 4. It's basically 14 lines of the Mishnah. And then the Mishnah starts and says, Shinashmo v'shma v'shemiro v'shemira. She changes his name or her name, or the name of the city or his city. They get to put Chorab Drachim Eilu. So why wasn't that just all written, that list of names and his name and her name and the place of the city, we mentioned under the Malchut? We said, Ketab l'shem Malchut, within a genet or there, or b'mara, or mizrach, or his name, or her name, or the name of the city, or his city. And then say, Taitse mizeh, mizeh, mizeh. So that's why the Gemara says, who's writing that city, that second part of the Mishnah there? Ma'antana, who is it? Ma'antana. It doesn't remember to be Mayus as a Gemara. So why don't we just put them into there and add it as part of the whole list and then list all the sanctions? Why don't we list all the sanctions and then say this as well and all the sanctions apply? And then we had another thing with the software writes it, all the sanctions apply, etc. So we said, Shmamina Rabbanan. Rabbanan lists all those things, Shmamina, and that's our proof over here that Rabbi Meir is the one that lists that whole initial section of the Mishnah. He speaks about the Malchut, Loho Genet, and Madai, and Yavan, and Churban, etc. Those are things that are only important to Rabbi Meir. The Chachamim aren't worried about that. The Chachamim really, their Mishnah only starts when we get to change the name. Is that clear where you got that? Right? Okay. So now we go back to the Mishnah. We spoke about Kol Arayas. We said Kol Arayas, She'am. Should all these Arayas, right? So we gave an example if a person is married to his niece. That's and now and she's an arayas because she can't marry her father. So if he dies, then she's patur from yibum, right? And all the tzaros go free. And then we had so we said over here nisuin, right? And we mentioned there as well as part of that whole list, right? So what is the arayas? So he says here nisuin zinulo. Look at Rashi. Zinulo elo asur litiabem. And then when we said that, so that's one of the, we said that the tzara would, that this woman's married to one of the arayas, the husband dies, and then there's no yibum over here, because she's an arayas, and all the tzara would go free as well, there's no yibum either. And now we discover that this girl who was the arayas, the erva, she was an ironit, and therefore the kiddushin wasn't a proper kiddushin, and now one of the tzaras have to, is basically a shomeret yibum. Correct? Because now she wasn't a tzara of an erva, so she's got to do yibum. So now the question is, and now if she did yibum and she got married, one of these tzaras, so now we say that she's got to get she's got to divorce her new husband. And we said she can't divorce the first husband because the first husband's dead. Remember we discussed that? So now she probably have to do chalitza or whatever the case was, but she can't stay married to the new husband. So yeah, the Gemara is medayek. It says nisu in zinulo. All these sanctions would only apply if she actually married. But if she was mezane, then no. Right? Look at Rashi. Zinulo. Ana ashray yibum. She can't now go and do yibum. So there's the answer, Robert. We spoke about. It looks like she can do yibum if she hasn't married yet. She can do yibum to her late husband's brother. Okay. But that's if she hasn't married yet. And we might think maybe if she was a mezane, if she already had a relationship with somebody also. They says, no. Zinulo, that doesn't ask her from Yibum. The nisu chamur. Nisu, if she married the guy, that's chamur. Shema yomru chalatz la beniseit. People might think that why did she marry the second husband? Because the first husband did chalitza. V'chaza l'konza mishnirgasha. And then she divorced the second husband. And now she's going to go and do yibum with him again. And in the situation where we think that this guy married a girl he did chalitza to, and you can't marry your chalitza to, right? You only marry your brother's wife because of yibum. Once you've done chalitza, she becomes eshet ach. Eshet ach now is asu to you. Correct? So he says that's why. It's only if there was, if she actually married somebody, people would think, why did she get married? Because she did chalitza. Because everyone knows the girl's an ironic now. So she must have done chalitza. And now she's going to divorce this guy and go back into yibum to him. That's too much. Tekimle below yibani, right? About if, right? So that's his zinu law. He says, why? So the Gemara says, okay, so we've proven over here, in this opinion over here, we're saying that according to the Mishnah, from the Duke of the Mishnah, it's only if she actually married. But if she never got married, she just was mezane, not a big deal, she can do yibum. So we say, maybe this is the after tiyuf, name it the after tiyuf, Rabbi Yibnuna. We can bring from this Mishnah a tiyuf, help me, I'm not functioning properly so well, too early for me, a tiyufta, a refutation, thank you. Right, we can have a tiyufta to Rabbi Yibnuna. Because what Rabbi Yibnuna, Rabbi Yibnuna said in Masechet Sota, Shomeret Yabam Shezinta, Shomeret Yabam is waiting to even with her brother-in-law, and in the meantime she was Mezane, is Ashur Yevama, the Yavama, she Ashur to him. And now we're seeing, from a duke in the Mishnah, she's not Ashur to him. It's only if she married in the meantime this Tzara. But if she hadn't got married yet, and now we discover that she's actually not a Tzara of an Erva, but she's a Tzara who has to do Yibum or Chalitza, right? And in the meantime, she was Mezane, she can go and do Yibum. So this is a Tiyufta to Rav Yibnuna. It was, no. It makes a difference if it's Nisu, Vuadin, Zinu, really makes a difference. So how come the Mishnah mentioned Nisu and didn't mention Zinu? Vahalitani Nisu, he says, Lishna Ma'ali Nakat. Because we don't talk about Zinu. We don't talk about people like that. We don't Nisu. It was a nice lashon. We're talking in the correct language. But the same din, Hain Vach, makes a difference if she was Mezane or if she was, or if she had got married. Vika Gemara brings the lashon in the other way around. He says, Vika, there's another opinion. That the Mishnah says that the diuk actually of the Gemara is Nisu, Vuadin, Zinu. It's actually the same. Really, it's Nisu, Vuadin, Zinu. We can prove from here that it's also Zinu. And if we can prove that the Mishnah is also Zinu, then there's not a refutation to Rabbi Nuna. But Rabbi Messiah, this is actually support Rabbi Nuna. Rabbi Nuna, Shomer Yavan, Shazin, Tashar Yavan, because in Sotah he said it. And he has a proof here from Gittin. That's exactly what Rabbi Nuna said. That it makes no difference if she got married or if she was Mezane. You and a woman who's Mezane while she's waiting to Yibum, from our Mishnah we can prove, has to divorce, has to, can't do Yibum. The Gemara says, no, you can't prove him either. Nisu Dafka, right? It's specifically only Nisu and not Zibu, Mezane. So how come, right? And Mishum, what's the reason? Mishum, the Michlefe Be'isha Shehalach Ba'al Le'binat Hayam. Right? We're concerned that we might end up confusing this with a woman whose husband went to Medinat Hayam, went overseas. How's it going to be a problem? Look at Rashi, long Rashi over here. And they say in the case that your husband died, and means that she got married. Remember, we learned this tragedy also in Yavama, what was the case? The Asrinanda Limahade. Even though she was anus, that she never knew that her husband died. And she correctly went and she married somebody else. Her husband arrived, Dr. Hana, honey, I'm home, remember? Right? She's got to divorce him and the new husband. People might think, what was the problem? That she divorced her first and married this one. And then she'd have marrying him again. And you, right? In the meantime, you can't marry your wife if she remarried somebody else in the meantime. So we'd have, the chashash there was that this woman married somebody while her husband let's think that, she, that he was dead. And people will think that she actually got divorced from him, married the second husband, and now she's divorcing the second husband, remarrying her first husband, and that's awesome. It turns out that you remarry your husband once you divorced, your wife once you divorced him. Hachinami, so to over here, what's our concern? Amrinan, Hacha, that say like this, Shema Yomru, Chalatze, I think that he did the Chalitze to her, Venasaze, and then she went and married somebody else, right? And that's the big problem. But Znut, this is the, while we can't, the Kuntel Ikidami, which we can't support, Rabbi Mnona, but Znut, like Kala Kula Hai. Interesting what Rashi says, right? Znut is not something people speak about so much. Everyone knows you got married. Everyone knows you're sleeping with. See, if you got married and you're publicly walking around as a married woman and you're going to functions, etc., and that's your husband, everyone knows it was a new marriage. And they know that that guy, your previous husband died and he had a brother. Everyone knows these things. And they think you did chalitza to that guy and that's why you're marrying this guy. And now, if you're going to say that marriage is not a good marriage, go back and do yibum, they're going to think you're marrying your girl to the chalitza with. Right? Umida yada. The pritsuta Hawaii velo chashtula b'chalutza. But when it comes to znut, no one worries about it so much. So according to that man, the Amara, that Vikid Amri, anybody got a halacha there, by the way? What is the case? I can't seem to understand it here from the Gemara. Anybody? Nobody? Okay, let's care. So now the second case was, so the first case was where you had an erva, and you thought it was an erva, and as an erva, the tzara all went free, and you discovered that she was an adonit. And now the tzara wasn't really a tzara of an erva, and because Khalid saw Yibum story. The second case we saw was where a person actually did Yibum. Right? He did Yibum, and then it just turns out that the girl that he did Yibum to was an adonit. And now the other tzaras all got married, thinking that they were patur from chalitza or yibum, because you already done yibum to the one wife. And now since that wife actually wasn't the right person to do yibum with, because she wasn't adonit. And now we're back to square one, like we spoke in the previous case. So the Gemara asked the obvious question, why do we need two cases? Aren't they exactly the same? There was no chich, we need them both. Why? The iashma inan bahach kamaita, if we spoke only about the case of where there was an erva, and therefore, and there wasn't yibum. No one did yibum because when there's an erva, so everybody's packed from yibum, right? We would say mishum the oloki ay mitzvah yibum. That's why there was no cube of mitzvah of yibum. So therefore, all the sanctions apply. But in our case, the guy did yibum to one of the girls. We know women to know there was the wrong girl. She's an island, but there was yibum. But the ikay mitzvah yibum, and we would maybe say the case like this, there wouldn't be all these sanctions. At the end of the day, the guy went, did yibum, did it properly, and discovers that the girl's an adonit, maybe here wouldn't be so bad. On the other hand, and if we only learned the case in our Mishnah of this case over here of doing yibum, we'd say that what's yibum, why is it a problem? Mishum, the karamia kame. Because at the end of the day, when it comes to yibum, both these women were really, had a zikah to do yibum to him. Right? And that's why we say that it's so chamur, because really there was a zikah of yibum over here. Aval hatam, the Lord Amir come over there where there wasn't, because one of them was an erva. We thought one of them was an erva, right? We would say, Amir Lord, it's not such a big deal, and therefore, chich, we learn them both. That makes no difference whether there's an erva, and therefore there's none of them are actually, there's no, in principle, zikah in the initial stage, right? The chatchila. In Bedi'evi, we discovered that there was a case of a zikah of yibum because she wasn't a proper erva. She was an erva, but she wasn't really married to him. But we might have placed to think now, so we could come to mistaken either of these things. Now the last case in the Mishnah, yeah, the second last case. So the Gemara says, what do you mean when we say Rabbi Elazar argued with Chachamim and said no? If we immediately discover that there's a mix-up of the gittin and she had got married in a very short space of time, then we accept it. But if it took a long time, then Rabbi Elazar says it's not acceptable, and we go ahead and the marriage is a good marriage. So Rabbi Yudama Shmuel calls Manchi Yosrim Vosukim Botoinya. So long are we still discussing it? Right, as long as it's still fresh in our minds. Oski b'toto inyan. As Rashi, the very, very last Rashi, says, b'divrei gerusha. So we're still discussing the divorce, and it's still fresh, it's still a hot topic. Zehu la'altar. But amdu, what does it mean, amdu zehu la'achazman? Zehu la'altar. Amdo, zehu la'achazman. But they've stopped speaking about it. Right? That's called a long time. That is according to Rabbi Rama Shmuel. Rav Ada Bar Ava Amar says, no. He says, Loni said, if she hasn't got married yet, that's called the altar. So she's still hasn't remarried, and we discovered then Rav Ada says, then we if she hasn't got married yet, so she's in a moment, not really a problem. But that's where he says, before she's married, we can accept this mix-up, whatever, any complication out of the mix-up. Ava, I suppose maybe on the ketubah side, right, that she might claim that she never got to wear the kashmir shomer. About nisu zeu dachazman, this girl got remarried, that's called dachazman. So that is pretty straightforward. Yeah. He says, once she gets married, we're not interested any longer. You're not going to go mess up the new girl's life. Once you got married, we don't accept this anymore, and we said, no. So Gemara asked Akashia, so what are you talking about? Tna, and we don't amish the law him nu mina him in reishonim la bench chutos shoshayim. The Mishnah said that we don't trust this whole circumstance from the first relationship to mess up the second one. But now remember, according to Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, that makes sense. Because this is whether we're discussing it again, or not discussing it again, but according to Rav Ada Bar Ava, either she's married or she's not married. If she's not married, that's the Mishnah said the Gemara Kashi Abishon Rav Ada Bar Ava, Hanu Tani Shaini. Right? That means that there is a second person. El Shmuel Vashaini. So I actually thought the other way around. So Shmuel, where's the second one? We're still discussing the get. So where's the second one? So the answer is Shchut HaReuya L'Shem. He says, you're right. According to Shmuel, we're still busy fresh discussing, we're still busy with divorce proceedings. So there isn't really a new husband yet, but we discussed that you aren't going to allow them to mess up the rights of the second husband in the future. Right? So once they've finalized the divorce, they go on their way, that's it, done deal, divorce is a divorce. Let's end it over here.